The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Within football, we have silos.
When we talk about hiring the man first, the coach second, I think he is an unbelievable person.
Every single person in this locker room right now is playing professional football.
Aaron get COVID, and the week they're like, yeah, you starting. And I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Just here to tell you, Pack is back.
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Giannis.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Performance Packers Podcast, from Packers Podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Todd.
Hello.
And our Green Bay Packers are defeated, 0-1, losing in Brazil. Very festive, very fun. Everyone enjoy their time. 29-34, losing to the Eagles. Coming out of that game, I think the headlines more, we're talking about one Jordan Love and the health of left knee, right?
Yeah, left knee.
Left knee, a little scary there for a bit. But Todd, I mean, I was out in California. You were here in the Midwest still. How was your viewing experience for this exceptional fun? I mean, I did like the game. We lost.
Yeah.
It felt like a playoff loss because of how close it was and like all these little things that could have been better. But how was your experience?
I mean, the viewing experience was good. The NFL, great job bringing the show to Brazil. Cameras were great. Felt just like we were in the United States. Maybe next time we'll just play in the United States and pretend it's Brazil. That would work.
Yeah.
Instead of the players having to travel 27 hours to get there and 2 hours on game day.
I think it was a 10-hour flight and yeah, well, 2 hours away. Yeah.
Well, whatever. No, it was good. It seemed like there wasn't a lot of people in the crowd, which I was kind of expecting, but they did a good job of like spreading the fans out to make it kind of like. There was never like people shoulder to shoulder, it looked like, in the stands. It just looked like they're spread out really nice. It was good.
Yeah, I don't remember much. Because I was expecting like almost a soccer fan reaction to a lot of things, but we didn't really. I can't remember too much of seeing the fans. I think after the first Packers touchdown, they showed a group of them celebrating. But other than that, I guess I had a weird viewing experience myself because I didn't have the volume on. I was in California for a wedding at like this. Nice house, like at a winery, like everyone was drinking wine. The TV was muted, so I didn't hear a lot of stuff, which was
tough.
The least I had I had some type of Wisconsin shirt on, and then my Packer hat. But other than that, everyone else is like kind of nice button up shirts, sipping on wine. I did talk to one guy, Chris, who was there, who's a Packer fan. He was my future brother in law's buddy, but he's a Packer fan and I liked him a lot. First question he asked me for, you know, Packer fan stuff, he was like, who's your favorite writer or journalist who covers the Packers? I was like, oh, Jason Wilde, and talked a little bit about that. And then we talked shit about Peter Bukowski, which was kind of nice.
Your favorite.
He must have been like, this guy is crazy, because he was like, what do you think about Peter Bukowski? I'm like, I hate him. He went to Syracuse. He's not a real journalist. He lives in New York. He pretends like he's a beat reporter, all that shit. So it was. But that was my viewing experience for the game.
Did you watch the national anthem?
I did not. I didn't hear it.
The people of Brazil were like, they're like panning to people that were crying during their national anthem.
Really?
They weren't actually crying. It looked like they had tears in their eyes. It was like the, was it Noshan Marino in the Super Bowl?
Well,
when he cried and there was the biggest tears you've ever seen in your entire life. It wasn't that.
Well, the layup joke here is it was an Eagles home game and they were obviously doing it for Nick Sirianni, the head coach of the Eagles, who cried at the Super Bowl, the national anthem. So all the Brazilians must have been doing it to make him feel at home. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's so good.
Just connecting the dots. But, yeah, this week we'll get into it. We'll see how things go. One thing, okay, if you didn't listen to the end last week, Billy, he is out for the regular season. He is now backup Billy, bye week Billy, and off season Billy. So if Todd cannot be here, Billy will be here. And then at the bye week, he'll be here, where Todd apparently is going to host. So
Yes, I will host.
So that's roster notes for the podcast this year. For this episode, we'll do kind of what we usually do. We'll see. I might be a little bit more free flowing this year. We're going to talk about Jordan Love. We'll talk about the game. We're going to do a new segment, which I don't know how often we'll do this, but it's we decided on. I was saying high or lower. Todd said, let's call it, what was it? Would you rather?
It's would you rather.
So it's between two players who are either struggling or looking good, and who do you feel better about, I guess. And then we'll have Stump Spenny and our preview of the Colts game next week. But kicking things off, let's just talk about Jordan Love. I don't know how in-depth we need to get about it, but man, very scary situation, reminiscent of 2018 with Aaron Rodgers hurting his knee, coming back out in the second half, beating the Bears. Obviously, Jordan Love happening on almost one of the last plays. Reminiscent of the Giants game as well, where Rodgers broke his thumb on a Hail Mary attempt at the end. But scary shit. I think you're more nervous than me because we were texting a little bit there. But initially, when Jordan Love is on the ground and he's like clearly in pain, making some noises, I'm like, oh, fuck. Then I see the replay, and I'm like, that doesn't look terrible. I thought his ankle might have been really bad, like a high ankle sprain. And then you see the knee replay, and you're like, ooh, something popped. But then the biggest positive for me was he goes to the sideline.
Just watch it again.
It's weird. It's super weird. Like, just seeing a knee move like that. But Doc McKenzie checked him out on the bench, and then left him there, and he was able to walk under his own power, wasn't carted to the locker room, so I felt pretty good there. After the game, Matt LaFleur said he didn't want to talk about it, and Jordan Love didn't talk, so then I didn't feel good either, and then we get the clip of them landing and him walking and not doing the Willy Wonka somersault at the end. So that was a good and bad thing, but then obviously the report comes out, looks like either a grade 1 or grade 2 MCL sprain. Initial reports are saying he'll be out 3 to 4, 2 to 8 weeks, whatever the fuck.
I think they said 3 to 6 was the official number that they came up with. I don't know who they is.
And the big thing, too, and it seems to be just gamesmanship or whatever from LaFleur, is yesterday at the presser, he said that, you know, he hasn't been ruled out yet for this week. So we'll see if that's possible. But I don't know. The Jordan Love stuff was spooky. It was a little scary. Did you think the season was over before it even started?
So when they zoom in on his knee and you can see whoever, I don't even remember which lineman it was, but one of the D linemen is like leaning into his knee.
Carter.
And then you see like a pop. Okay, so it's Jalen Carter. So then you see like the pop and then the knee like flexes in like towards the center of his body. And I'm like, oh. Like, that's something tore. Like, that's that. I'm not a doctor, obviously, but like, looking at that, you're like, oh, that's horrible. And like, the more, like, as we kind of like talked about it and stuff like that, I was like, okay, it's probably like, maybe it's not the ACL because of like, it went sideways. So maybe that's good, right? He only tore his MCL or PCL or whatever it would be. And so I was like, I felt better like by the minute. And then when I had like reaffirmed myself just out of stupidity and just like, just like hyping myself up like we do before the season. And I just was like, no, he'll be fine. And that process has continued since we got the news. And I did see one of my friends sent me this tweet, and I actually sent it to you. I sent it to you a little while ago, but like there's a list of all the different MCL sprains since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And games missed is the far right column.
Is it quarterbacks? Is it just quarterbacks?
It's all quarterbacks. Sorry, I should have prefaced. It's all quarterbacks. And so like Joe Burrow had an MCL sprain, two of them in 2022, and he missed no games, right knee and left knee. He had both.
Ooh.
I mean, this one looks more This one looks serious. So I don't know, like, but then, like, Trey Lance missed one game in 2021.
Your cousin.
My boy. Davis Mills missed two games. But, like, also, too, like, Davis Mills, lower caliber athlete, right? So I'm saying, right, well, Joe Burrow missed zero games. Jordan Love can miss zero. So there's more guys on the list. But, like, if you go down the list, like, nobody's missed more than two. And there's a lot of zeros on the list. So does he – can you put him in, like, one of those linemen – like, turn him into a robot. Immobilize that knee and just put him out there. Because, like, that's – I'm not – I don't want to put Jordan Love at risk. But, like, we can put him in a legitimate cast on his knee so it doesn't move side to side and then go, like, put him out there. We're, like, we're here to win football games. We care about Jordan Love's health. But, like, this doesn't seem like a real – if it's truly just a sprain, if it's not a tear.
Yeah.
Like, if it's partially torn, that's a different story. Maybe that's what sprain is. I don't know. But, like, if it's really, like, missing two games, it's like, well, can we just put him out there? Put him in, like, three knee braces just stick him out there.
That's something – because, right, it's like how much worse can you really make it? I don't know how much it helps the knee structurally anyways. But
right.
So,
well, I mean, it probably does.
Yeah. So Tauscher today on William Tauscher was saying how over the weekend he didn't say by name, but it was pretty funny because he was saying former whatever. He was talking about Brett Favre. He talked to Brett Favre.
Yep.
And I know a lot of people don't like Favre. He's done a lot of crummy things. But the quote that Tausch said from it was, Favre said, "You don't know what you can play through until you play through it," which is,
I like it,
kind of dumb, but it's also like very good point. You know, I think
you kind of
some sports that we play through, like, you know, I was a B2 hockey player, absolute dog shit. I had concussions and stuff. So I've played through a lot of very tough injuries. But to hear that coming from Favre and Rodgers, who have obviously pushed through a couple injuries as well. It seemed, and the thing they've said too is, can he protect himself? That's what they're looking for out of him too.
I think there's a quote. It's like a song, maybe. It's like, if you're gonna be dumb, you gotta be tough. And this is like, I don't think Jordan Love is dumb, but I think you gotta be, like, to be tough, you gotta be a little dumb. So it's like the inverse of it.
True.
And it reminds me. Remember, you've seen Miracle. It's a very popular Midwest movie.
Hockey.
Right? It's a hockey movie. Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you remember the quote where maybe this is LaFleur talking to Jordan Love as he sits there pouting in the corner right before everybody walks onto the field? And it's the, what does he say to the goalie? Like, the bruise on the leg is a hell of a long way from
the heart.
From the heart or something? Yeah. So, like, maybe that's so that's what I'm envisioning is going to happen leading up to the game. He's activated, but it's like, oh, is he going to, like, it's questionable. It's a game time decision. And then LaFleur says that to Jordan Love, and then, you know, six touchdowns.
The rest is history. Yeah. And it's funny because I didn't think of it exactly that way either. But we talked about a shit ton last year with Matt LaFleur and being frustrated with injuries when David Bakhtiari and two Jair Alexander, how they were questions either in the offseason or throughout the entire year. And I wonder if part of this is Matt LaFleur doing some messaging to Jordan Love and trying to get him to play through something who guys in the past haven't, and especially coming from the quarterback position. I mean, Rodgers played with his broken thumb, Favre played with so many things in the past, but that's a kind of leadership thing too, which we haven't seen so much in the most recent history of the Green Bay Packers, but obviously it would be something that everyone in the team would respect as well. But obviously,
well, what do you think? Do you think when do you think he comes back? I say he sits out a week and he comes back next week.
Yeah, most likely, I think he'll be back for the Viking game, so he'll be out 2 weeks. But I wouldn't be shocked if it's sooner.
I think he's tougher than that.
Yeah, exactly. I believe in Jordan. I think he's extremely tough, so that's where we're going to go with. But moving on to the game. A more fun thing, I guess, even though we lost, because injuries aren't fun to talk about. But yep, Packers lose 39-34. We will start with the offense, as 20, we always do.
Yeah, 29-34.
29. Did I fuck? I'm
39.
So...
39. That's it happens.
Yeah. I wish it was 39. So, first stat, which I found interesting, just, you know, you open up the box score, you go through a little bit and see what jumps out at you. Mm-hmm. Packers' yards per play was 7.1. The Eagles was 5.5. So, I'm like, 7.1 seems like a lot. The Packers right now have the largest yards per play on offense in the NFL. So that's, I'm like, you know, not a great game, but I will take that. kick things off, Jordan Love, you talked about him a little bit off the top, but 17 for 34, 260 yards, two touchdowns, the one pick. It seems like there was, it felt like a, how we would describe it last year, where there were a lot of issues on offense, and Jordan Love might not have played fantastic, but he wasn't the reason why we were having offensive struggles at times. He had a couple little inaccurate balls, but I don't know. The offensive line was okay. He didn't get a ton of help. There was a couple drops. I mean, he had that one throw where he's rolling out to the left and he just lasers it to, was it Reed or was it Dobbs? It must have been Reed.
The left one was Dobbs, I want to say.
Okay. But still had those superhuman throws, a couple little inaccurate balls. We talked about the injury. We don't have to get back into it, but I don't know. I was fine with Jordan Love's performance. Do you have anything to add to that, or should we talk about Mr. Malik Willis?
I mean, for Love, there was only a couple bad that I looked at that and I was like, oh, that's a bad throw. And then there was a lot of, I thought there was a lot of drops. It felt like a lot of drops or like plays that maybe, I don't know, like the Christian Watson one down the sidelines. I was like, man, I feel like you got to fight through to at least get a hand on that ball. I don't know. It looked like a lot of rust from everybody on the offense. So I don't know.
And even with, you know, we weren't super happy with the performance on Friday, but you look around the league and like we said, with the yards per play, it's like, well, we can't complain because we still look more competent than a lot of other groups that went out on Sunday, especially. But Malik Willis, I guess I don't know how much we would need to get into it. Maybe we will more for the preview, but he comes in and it's like, God, dude, just get off. Just get the throw off for the Hail Mary. That's all I'm asking from you. They tried that little outplay for the first one, did not work. So 0 for 1, and then he slips on the second play.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Okay. New guy in town. He does, like, here's my thing is that, like, he looks like he's going to sling the ball if he's in there, and I like that. I don't want, so many times we've had backups, and these backups haven't thankfully had to play very often, but like when they do get in, and granted a lot of times at the end of the game, but it's like just the most vanilla passing attempts that you've ever seen in your life, and I'm like, I don't think we're going to get that from Malik, which at least, like, if you're going to have your backup play, let's have it be exciting, and I feel like it's going to be exciting. It might be bad exciting, but it's going to be exciting.
It's going to be something, that's for sure, if he plays. Yeah, because I'm like, are we going to go back? Are we going to do a couple, like, option plays with him, which we tried to do a couple years ago? Yeah. Especially the beginning of last year, too. I mean, he's kind of exciting, but it's like, this would be a fun little side quest if we were, like, you know, 8-2 or something. Right now, I'm like, well, I'd rather have a better, more competent quarterback, because that was the thing that we kind of brought up too when we traded for him. It's like, he's a nice project, but we kind of want a competent backup to step in right now, especially with, like, you know, we talked about Heinicke getting traded away for a 6th-round pick.
But I'm trying to remember who said it, but one of the guys, I can't remember who it was, but who's their backup quarterback? Maybe he was talking about Will Levis. Did he play horrible this week?
Yes.
Or last week?
He threw that pick
six. And they were like,
six.
if they kept Will Levis and gave us Malik Willis, what are we expecting here?
So have you, I heard this week, the weird QB carousel going around with that too?
Well, it's Will Levis and Mason Rudolph, right?
Sure. Yes. So it's Malik Willis was traded away because he was beat out by, God, I already forgot his name. The actual starting quarterback for the Titans. Mayo Boy.
Will Levis.
So,
Do you call him Mayo Boy?
Yeah. Don't you remember that from the draft? He loves mayonnaise. No. He eats like straight up mayonnaise.
Oh, that's him?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Mayo Boy beats out Malik Willis. You know, new regime too with last year's draft. So, Willis gets traded to us. Willis was traded to the Packers because Sean Clifford didn't play very well. Sean Clifford beat out Will Levis at Penn State. So Will Levis had to go to, I forgot where he went to college, but it's a weird, going back and forth between these three quarterbacks for replacing each other in college. Kentucky, there you go. And the NFL. So there you go. Fun little tidbit there.
I did not realize that he was in Penn State and got beat up by Clifford.
I didn't either.
I mean, yeah, that says a lot.
Moving on to running back. very weird game to judge the running game. First half, not good at all. But again, the Packers finish the game. They are, you know, this is, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. They have the highest yards per rush in the NFL right now, too, with that 7.2, you know. So that's good. It just shows you that the passing game just wasn't as efficient as you would have wanted. Jacobs didn't look good early. Seemed to be more of an offensive line thing. Also, he seems to have that A.J. Dillon disease where if there's someone in the backfield, he just kind of slow up. He doesn't seem to hit the hole as fast as guys like Emmanuel Wilson or Aaron Jones we had seen at times. But, I mean, you can't complain. It's weird how he had those really – didn't have a good first half, second half a lot better. And when he gets, like, that open space, he can really break out a bit, which I wasn't expecting to see, which we saw a bunch of in the second half, even out of the backfield catching passes.
Yeah, and it's no favors were given by Josh Myers or Sean Ryan, especially those first couple drives where they're just like, it seemed like their guys were getting into the backfield before Josh Jacobs even had a chance. And then you saw him kind of late in the second quarter and then into the third and fourth. Actually, when he got going, when he got past the line of scrimmage, when he wasn't getting hit in the backfield, he was making plays and showing his explosiveness. So I think, you know, chalk it up to week one on a horrible field. The blocking hopefully gets better in the future, and then we see some more explosive runs from Josh Jacobs. He's a guy who I do feel like would look awesome on turf. Like, I feel like there's guys that you're like, you know, there's like, I'm thinking like big, he's a bigger guy, but like a really big back is like, oh, you want him in Lambeau on December, like what we thought A.J. Dillon was going to be. But it's like Josh Jacobs, I'm like, I want that guy on turf. Like, I want that guy to make somebody miss and then truck a dude. Like, that's what I feel like he is.
It will be interesting to see how the entire offense looks on a actual NFL field. Should we talk about that a little bit here? Should we talk about that in the refs? Field condition.
Oh, the refs?
Oh, God. Field condition and the refs, not good. I've gotten a little pissed off this week. You know, I think most of us have some type of love-hate relationship with Aaron Nagler, seen his work on Twitter for Cheesehead TV and stuff, but he brought up, you know, a couple people slipped in the Colts game, and he tweeted, oh, look, a couple people slipped in this Colts game. You know, something along those lines, because, you know, everyone's bitching about Brazil. It's like, there was a huge difference. Kenny Clark came out and said that it was the worst field he has ever played on, and that there was just clay on the field and gigantic holes. It's like, yeah. I understand we don't want to say negative things about other places and stuff like that. At the same time, a couple of years ago, they canceled an NFL game in Mexico City because of the bad field conditions. There was some weather stuff going on, too, but it's like,
yeah,
these have been issues in the past, and we clearly saw slippage from the beginning to the end. Malik Willis even slipped at the end of the game.
I saw J.J. Watt even tweeted. He said, big guys don't do well on soccer fields because they're not made for, like, it's like light guys running around. Like, so on a football field, you're pushing against each other, right? And that grass has to be able to, like, kind of hold a little bit. I'm assuming in Brazil they have different grass. I'm assuming it's not Kentucky bluegrass in Brazil, right? Like, I'm assuming it's something different.
One can only.
Maybe that plays a factor. Maybe the soil plays a factor. But
that was
the field was shitty.
The other tweet I saw, too, is that this is the same kind of turf at Lambeau Field. And I'm like,
what do you mean kind of turf? Grass?
Well, so Lambeau has this thing where it's like one per every 100 blades of grass is like artificial turf. So that kind of like holds it together, you know, throughout. It's something like that. So
I actually had no idea.
I believe it's something along those lines. But, you know, over there, it's like, I'm sure it's just a shorter grass. And yeah, like you're saying, it's not used to holding up gigantic human beings in the middle of the field for that long, and that's why he got torn up. I don't think it's a crazy thing to think about.
Also, maybe I'm an idiot, but they're in the southern hemisphere. Isn't this their winter?
Oh, God. I don't want to reveal how dumb we are.
Okay. Well,
I have no idea. Yeah.
Don't cut it. Leave it.
We won't cut this part. And then Emmanuel Wilson, too. Again, just looked very solid. What you want from your backup running back. 4 rushes, 46 yards. High of or long of 18. Again, just he came in here and he was the better looking back in the first half. Not like, you know, it took much, but I think we were like, oh my God, look at Emmanuel. And then we get to the second half of Josh Jacobs. It's like, oh, that's right. That's why we gave him $12 million to play for us this year.
You know what my dumb brain thought when I was watching him? I was like, oh, this guy knows how to run on a shitty field.
Mm.
because he was like not running super fast. He was like kind of like slow a couple times where he would like stop and just like change direction, but not like cut. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this guy, he know, like he's a December, like he's going to be good in December. That's what I thought immediately.
Well, speaking of that, we'll roll right into wide receivers and the guy who seemed to have the best control of his feet of him and Saquon. But I mean, Jesus Christ, Jaden Reed. Again, we said it last week. We haven't talked about Jaden Reed in a week. So many episodes, it feels like. And it's crazy because, you know, we're again in this new era of Green Bay Packers football. And Bill Huber wrote this. He said, right now, with Aaron Jones being gone, Jaden Reed is without question the playmaker on the Packers offense. And it's one of those things where you hear it and you're like, yep, for sure. And then you're like, huh. Wow, we really have just moved on to a completely different version of the Green Bay Packers. But yeah, you cannot argue it. The rushing touchdown was fucking awesome. What was it, 31 yards? We had the 70-yard receiving touchdown. The four receptions, 138 yards. I mean, just awesome. You can't really ask for more of the guy. He's always in control. He's always played like a vet. Love him. Just there can't be many better receivers in the NFL per pound than Jaden Reed.
Ooh. Per pound.
He's not huge.
Nope. It's funny. We talked about his weight. I looked it up because we just talked about
he's a little small guy. Yeah.
Small guys on a field that's not built for big guys. Jaden Reed, turns out, under 190 pounds.
He is.
One, built like a soccer player, maybe you would say. Mm. And then Cristiano Ronaldo, I just looked up, 183 pounds.
Huh.
So 187 to 183. Coincidence that the soccer player didn't slip? I don't know.
Hmm.
Maybe we just need soccer players. Yeah, Jaden Reed was electric. The way that he sifted his way through on that run play, was it a run play?
Yeah.
That's right.
I didn't remember if it was a toss or whatever.
Because it wasn't the toss forward one.
Oh,
remember the Rogers cheat code. Scored? So yeah,
he's like halfly.
Halfly.
Or, God, why can't I remember his name? Oh, my God. Bald guy. Jets.
Yep.
We have to come up with a name.
The Gold Zone.
Nathaniel Hackett. He was like, Rogers. Or Rogers like, hey, Nate, come here. You can be the OC. Just let me get 10 touchdowns where I throw it a yard in front of me. Just let me do that.
Just, nope. I won't hand it off. I'm going to toss it up in the air. but like he did not look like he was playing on the same field as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like he looked polished. He looks smooth and like you said, like he's just like the perfect Packers player. There's no controversy around Jaden Reed. You never hear about him doing anything. He just shows up and plays and like he's been such a like the greatest addition to the slot ever. He can go in motion. He's fast. Like, oh, I love him. And then when he makes plays like he did, and he should have had another touchdown if there wasn't offsetting penalties at 12 men on the field, that would have been another touchdown for him. So. Right. Came up with a couple big plays while he was getting hit. One in the fourth quarter as we were trying to set up for a touchdown at the end. I mean, he did everything.
I don't know if there's anything bad you can say about him, except maybe he could be a little bit taller. Like, that is it. Because off the field, too, he's a leader. Like, he was one of the guys who obviously had a gigantic game, too. But he's, like, if they gave out captain patches, he very well could be just as a second-year receiver in a very crowded room. Christian Watson, we can talk about him next. He had 5 targets, came down with 3 catches, 13 yards, and the 1 touchdown. Just an up-and-down day for him. I mean, I love the touchdown, that little slant. It's like,
yep,
that's something we should do with him with that big wingspan to just get him. It's tough to beat him on something like that.
Especially when they put a slot on him in there, too.
Yep. And then, like you had mentioned, too, I mean, God, stop me if you've heard this before. I'd like to see Christian Watson fight for the ball a little bit more when it's in the air. Have you ever heard us say anything about
this? It is weird to see a big-bodied guy like that not... It feels like big-bodied guys are either just, like, all coached up to just, like, fight for the ball as, like, a red zone target type guy. Like, my point would be you'd never see A.J. Brown not, like, push the corner out of the way and go after that. I granted they're different physicalities, but, like, as a big dude, I just feel like you just go get those balls. Just at least make an effort. I don't know.
And maybe I'm just misremembering this, but it's almost like he's worse within 5 yards of the end zone and the end zone. because you remember the Raiders game. I guess the Niners, you know, pass to end the game would be outside of that. But like the Lions game, you know, he had that deep ball that he caught. But when you're actually in the red zone, it's like, this should be his bread and butter. I guess he had the couple with Rodgers that last couple games too at Lambeau. But we just need a little bit more dog out of Christian Watson. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, he's just not like a red zone guy. He's not a possession guy.
Speaking of possession guys, Romeo Doubs, the second leading receiver, 4 receptions, 50 yards out of 7 targets. I don't know. I like seeing him. He looks very decisive out on the field too. I want him to do better to give him the nickname, but I want to give him the nickname like the Terminator, because it is just emotionless and it's just very like strict robotic movements with like what he's doing on his routes and everything. And I still like him, but he disappears at times. Like, I'm sure you looked at the snap counts now, but going through all the receivers, Romeo Doubs led all receivers, playing 87% of the snaps. Reed had 72, Watson had 63, and Wicks only had 46. I'll keep rolling here with Wicks. Wicks had a couple drops, didn't have any receptions, probably the biggest letdown of all the receivers.
Yeah.
Second drop was a little iffy, but it did hit his hands. But I don't know, just a little too many drops from everyone out there. But I don't know. Do you feel good about Doubs? Do you feel bad about Wicks? Did the snap percentage kind of surprise you? It surprised me.
I guess I was surprised at the lack of Wicks' involvement. I don't know. This is one of those things, too, where you could go with the hot hand every week and just kind of rotate your best three out there. It doesn't, you know, I don't need Wicks to get all the snaps every week, but it's like, man, those three drops, one of them wasn't really on him, but like, between slipping on the turf and then just them bouncing off his hands, it was like, man, it's just a tough day for Wicks, which, you know, the end of last year, he was so hot. And I guess I chalk a lot of this up until we see otherwise, until this becomes a pattern. I just chalk it up to rust. These guys just haven't played football. You know, that's the problem.
So. True. Aside from what did he have? Like a 70-yard touchdown in the preseason, which is pretty sweet?
The one, yes, yes. Right.
But yeah, I mean, that and the field, we've got, this is the week to make excuses. You know, we're still going to win the Super Bowl or
something. Hey, week one lies.
True. Bo Melton played 8 snaps. We don't have to talk about him. Tight end?
No.
So, not to take a victory lap, and I do hate guys who brag about things that they're right about, especially like Andy Herman. Oh. Whatever. I'm not going to get into anything. Anyways, bold prediction take of the year that I had last week was that Tucker Kraft would overtake Luke Musgrave as tight end 1. Week 1, it seemed to happen. It could be different with game plans in the future with different opponents, but Tucker Kraft played 96% of the snaps. Luke Musgrave only played 25. Tucker Kraft finished with 2 receptions, 37 yards. He had the long one of 29. But, I mean, God, you see him with he's almost my favorite guy to see with a ball in his hands, because you literally do not know what he is going to do. He might juke.
Hurdle.
Not spin. I don't think we've seen him spin yet. That's the missing...
to be seen, yes.
TBD on that, but I don't know. It's very odd. Luke Musgrave obviously didn't have a great game either. Well, I shouldn't say either there. He just had the 2 targets, the one over the middle where it seems like he should have shortened that route a little bit or crossed a little bit sooner, which he did not, which led to the pick. He also got flagged for that 12-man on the field, which was one of the worst flags of the day of all of them. I mean, God, they were all so fucking bad. But LaFleur, after the game, said that the coaches were kind of at fault for some of these. It sounded like they were trying to sub from the sideline while Jordan Love was trying to run the hurry up. If that was Rodgers out there, we would have seen quite the blow up.
He would have freaked out.
Especially when it took a fucking touchdown off
I can just see him turning and looking at LaFleur and spiking the ball into the ground with, like, you know, that attitude where, like, he spikes it but his hand comes back up.
Uh-huh.
That's what would have happened.
Well, I think the first season, LaFleur and Rodgers were together, like, that did happen where LaFleur called a timeout and Rodgers just fucking laid into him because he took away a free play. But Bill Huber wrote this too. I keep using the same number, but when Tucker Kraft was on the field, the Packers averaged 7.2 yards per play, and with Musgrave, it was 1.2. So, not great, but...
You might be looking a little too far into that one.
A little bit, but it makes you think, you know, if he was out there on those run plays and
for like what, 20 snaps?
17. 17 snaps.
17.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
Well, we're connecting dots here today.
Yeah, but I don't know. Anything else on the tight ends?
No, no.
Ben Sims played one snap. The offensive line. So Jordan Love is only sacked once. Josh Jacobs, we didn't mention this. He has the highest yards over expected for running backs right now, which shows you that the offensive line didn't play very well overall. Pro Football Focus has the pass blocking of the Packers right now as the 23rd best in the NFL. I don't know what to talk about.
Pass blocking?
Pass blocking, yep.
What do they rank for run blocking?
I did not see that one.
Oh, okay.
But left to right again, it was Walker, Elton, Myers, Jordan Morgan, and Sean Ryan rotated at right guard, and Zach Tom played right tackle. Zach Tom was one of the highest graded right tackles in the league to kick off the season, but really, really shitty in the run game. I guess good enough in the pass game. We'll take that. There was times where Love had to move around a little bit more than you would like, but man, Josh Myers, especially at center, you look back and again, we bitched about him last year. He kind of put it together at the end of the year, but God, he just, especially in space, he cannot latch on the guys to block him. And in the red zone too, and we saw the 2-point conversion, I believe, just does absolutely nothing to block. Like yeah. He might as well have just gone down on a knee rather than try to block. I forgot who made the play, but less than ideal. Did you feel, I feel about the worst. Yeah, I feel the worst about the offensive line than any other position group on the offense.
The tandem of Sean Ryan and Josh Myers worries me just in like, I don't know, watching the all 22, it just looks like they're just like missing blocks that they shouldn't. Like, obviously we don't know what the calls are, the protections, but like when you're watching it, it doesn't look right between those two. And like, I don't know, like again, bad field, like whatever, but like Josh is slipping and sliding all over the place and just like missing guys, and poor Josh Jacobs is back there trying to like make something out of nothing when he's got one of the best defensive lines staring him down the face every play, knowing that all they have to do is sidestep the guy in front of him and they're going to be in there. I don't know. I just feel bad that it's like, Jordan Morgan's got to get in there, but there's no replacement for Josh Myers. Like, this is what we got. He just needs to play better. Like, Jacob Monk is not ready. He can't go in there and take over the center job. At least with Sean Ryan, we've got a contingency plan that's in action. And like we can rotate him in, and I think he actually might have been PFF's top five for grading.
Who?
For the offense, Jordan Morgan.
Okay, I thought you were saying Sean Ryan because I thought he graded.
Sorry, I switched gears there. Yeah, Jordan Morgan was in the top five for PFF as far as Packers offense. So like for the limited time he was in there, I don't remember what the snap count was. It was probably like what? It was under 50%.
It was like 60. I wanted to say 2/3 Ryan, 1/3 Morgan.
Yeah. I think this Packers team, we've talked about before, with Elton Jenkins, how he just like couldn't get on the field his rookie season. I don't think that's going to be the case
to start the season. I think he was starting week three his rookie year.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm misremembering that.
It was just it was just so odd that they rotated week one with Lane Taylor.
I think that, you know, same thing's going to happen. Then I think that we're gonna see more Morgan next week and the following week until he's starting. I think that that's just the natural progression is what it seems. Sean Ryan in spots, I think if he's like drive blocking down the field, we've seen he can be effective. But like, man, it just seems like in the passing game and then like him next to Myers is just like, ugh, that's just too much space for them both to cover.
That's the thing. And then it's like, you know, you don't want to have two minus players next to each other, but then it's like, but then it's like you don't want a bad tackle either. You don't want to have an issue at right or left tackle, which you'd have to do if you're not doing that. So yeah, I'm not sure what the fix is. It does feel like Josh Myers is going to be this year's John Runyon, where we're kind of like, yeah, we understand why he's playing now, but we know he won't be doing this next year, and you're just kind of using up the last of that contract and, you know, the reps that you have with them. With that, we will have a quick commercial break. And we are back with the defense. The defense, Todd, they gave up 34 points to the Philadelphia Eagles. Initial thoughts. Yep. What are your thoughts on the Jeff Hafley defense?
I mean, I think in general, I like things that they did. The Eagles have a good offense. I don't think that's a physical offense. I think that, you know, a little bit individually, some players got bullied. One, Jair Alexander seemed to get bullied a little bit, which it's like, what do you do about that? You know, your cover corner just kind of gets manhandled in spots. But I think in general, I like the way that this defense attacks more than it sits back on its heels. And I'm confident that it only gets more aggressive as the year goes on. Just the way that Jeff Hafley talks, and like, you know, you do see blitz rates, I think, go up in general as the season goes on. Oh, I think that's a general pattern. So yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for it. I think,
but we gave up 34 points.
You don't love the 34 points. But that's a good offense. And Saquon looks in that offense with that offensive line. That is going to be, that looks like a really good December football team. They're big and physical. That's like a Niners team that you don't want to face in the playoffs. That's kind of what they look like, you know, years past for us. So
I told you this offseason that Swift isn't a very good running back, and that it would be interesting to see what the Eagles look like with a real one. And three touchdowns in his debut is pretty good for Saquon Barkley. But I don't know. The defense, we're running optimist. You know, if we kept Joe Barry and this was what happened, we'd be calling for his head. Obviously, I went back. I'm going, this is side mission here, tangent. I went back to listen to the Packer Report podcast, whatever, with Ryan Wood and Tom Silverstein from the 2022 year after the Eagles game, because I wanted to find Ryan Wood in a lie, because this week he said, why did they make Jalen Hurts pass? And I'm like, well, 2 years ago, he ran for over 100 yards on us. So I understand making him pass, especially when he threw two picks and should have had more than that. So I wanted to go back to see if Ryan Wood said then, how can you let Jalen Hurts run all over you, which would have been a great. But he didn't exactly say that. It wasn't either way. But it's funny to hear them talk back then, how matter-of-factly, because this is right before we went on our winning streak and almost made the playoffs in 2022, how Silverstein was like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Barry's gone tomorrow. And it's like he stuck around for two more fucking seasons. So it's like I'm still just so optimistic with this defense that we have, even giving up 34 points. But you saw effort. You saw different things. Yeah. You saw a four-man rush, which isn't good, but it wasn't just a five-man rush every single play, which is what it felt like under Joe Barry. And even that last drive where, you know, we didn't let him score a touchdown, but it was 16 plays. I mean, we had a third down where we sent the house. It just didn't work. Yep. There was a couple other just good plays that the Eagles offense made, a couple close calls, a terrible fucking defensive holding call or whatever on Jair. Like, if that doesn't get called, we're probably getting the ball back. Well, we are getting the ball back. I believe that was on a third down, and we have a chance there. And it's like, that's all we're asking for. And I know it was still a long drive, but when we lost to the Giants last year on Monday Night Football, and it was just like swing pass, and like it was just eight-yard pass. At least we were forcing the issue a little bit here.
So that's like the thing that's like demoralizing, is when teams would just put together these bland, boring drives against us and just like go down the field. Now, granted, that's what happened at the very last drive where they had like a, I don't know what it was, five-minute drive. But I just feel like with a Joe Barry defense, they would just do the same thing over and over and over again. And we would just give up 3 to 5, 3 to 5,
yep,
3 to 5. And what makes me feel a little bit better is just like, I just remember it was like third and short and like the corners walked up to the line. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that just feels, that's right. Like that feels right. You know, it helps having good safeties back there. Xavier McKinney was all over the place. Like having a rangy guy like that, you know, can maybe change what you do. But Joe Barry definitely wouldn't have given a shit who was back at safety. Mm-hmm. Those guys would be back off the ball, and we wouldn't have taken advantage of having, you know, any third and short. Also, side note, we did pretty damn good against the tush push.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
God,
for as unimpressive as that front four was, on Friday, like the tush push it was not effective. like it was years prior, which I thought, like, I don't know. I thought that, like, when they lined up for the first time, I was like, ah, shit. Like, and then, you know, what is it? It was, like, multiple times well, that we stopped them or pushed them back. Granted, there was a fumble.
We had the stop. Yeah, there was the fumble. We had the stop on third down. And then on fourth down was when TJ Slayton jumped offside.
Jumped offside.
After making
that's
the
right.
stop the previous
play. Yeah.
Like, God, TJ, we were so damn
Dude,
close.
When you're in that situation and you're, your eyeballs are 6 inches from the ball, just watch the ball, dude.
I know. It's such a, come on, idiot. It's, why'd you move? But I'm sure if you're...
It's so
you
easy
to
sit
dumb.
On your couch you and say it. Like, yeah. I'm the bozo sitting on my couch going, don't jump. But, like, also, the ball's right in front of you. Just look at it.
Yes. And, I mean, because that's the thing, too. Because you're just, you know it's the tush push. And you're just so ready because you know they're going to run right at you. Where it's, like, understandable that you be an idiot. Moving on to the position group, starting at defensive end, which is still tough to get used to. Probably the biggest letdown of the group, like we said. We finished the day with 2 sacks, I believe, Rashawn Gary and Keyshawn Nixon. But Gary's sack came when Lane Taylor was literally, like, pointing down the offensive line. Like, he wasn't set when Gary was when they snapped the ball. So, not fantastic. Preston didn't seem to do much. JJ didn't do a ton. LVN barely played. He had like twice as many snaps, or JJ had like 3 times as many snaps, I think, as LVN. LVN had like 11 or 15, just not a lot. Didn't do much. And again, it's just, I think we all expected a lot more out of this group than we got, you know, especially when everything simplified, just rush, create pressure, create havoc. Maybe it's different. Maybe that wasn't exactly the game plan. With it being Jalen Hurts and a rushing quarterback, but I don't know, Todd, were you as let down as I was by the pass rush from the ends here?
Yeah, I mean, Gary was neutralized by Lane Taylor. The only time he wasn't neutralized was when Lane didn't see the snap and he got off, and that's when he gets a sack. Also, I think that I just looked it up. Lucas Van Ness had 19 snaps. Preston Smith had 54. Preston Smith is obviously very good in the run game, which they have. I mean, they had Saquon, and that offensive line's really good, but it would have been nice to see a little bit more a little bit more even. Like, rotate those guys in and out, keep them fresh. I don't know. That would have been kind of nice to see. But yeah, that was very underwhelming. That's why it was surprising to see us do so well against the tush push.
Yeah.
Because it was underwhelming outside of that.
Yeah, and with LVN, I'm curious to see what his snap counts are going to look like here, because the coaches are showing us who they feel confident in right now. Maybe it's a little different, and, you know, depending on who the opponent is, but I find it hard to believe that you wouldn't play a guy at end, you know, if you think if he can rush the passer and he can make a difference in the game, you'd think he'd get more than the 19 snaps.
I mean, that was one of the best offensive lines in the league.
True,
so.
True. Defensive tackle, Wyatt seemed to have, I mean, opportunistic, I guess. He recovered the bad snap, and he helped put pressure on X's INT, which was pretty cool. Kenny was like the second lowest graded player on defense, according to Pro Football Focus. Again, like always, take that with a grain of salt. I don't know.
Yeah, he didn't look.
I don't remember him doing
something
much.
He didn't look like the December. Yeah. He looked like he was getting double teamed, maybe. I don't know.
He was down in Brazil. Bears don't fare well and, you know, down that close to the equator.
No bears in Brazil.
I can't remember Carl Brooks or Colby Wooden doing anything. The only thing I remember about Colby Wooden is that he sat to the right of Jordan Love when Jordan Love sat down after injuring his left knee. That's the only thing I can remember about Colby Wooden. Linebacker, not a great night for that group either. Obviously, when, you know, Saquon had the night he had. Quay just looked a little lost at times. They're misaligned at the goal line in the red zone there. Not great. Wilson completely missed on the long Barkley run. He was just out of sorts on that run play. The touchdown pass to Barkley, it was Isaiah McDuffie in coverage. I mean, he allowed a touchdown, but God, you really can't ask more out of out of a linebacker covering Saquon there. And
especially a dude as big as Isaiah. I mean,
yeah.
McDuffie's a big boy chasing Saquon down the field. It's kind of tough.
And then Mr. Cooper, Adrian Cooper, he played a handful of snaps and he
made 11.
Made his presence known. What he had a pass deflection. He had a pressure. He had a tackle for loss too, I believe. And this is rare for Matt LaFleur to just come out and say things straight. He said that he is going to be playing more in the future. So it'll be interesting to see how that looks like. But I don't know if it is for you. That's probably the thing I'm most excited to see going into next week.
I think for sure on the defense. It'll be nice to go up against a lesser offensive line. I'm excited for that.
True.
But yeah,
Colts
I think
have a decent one. Don't they have?
Yeah.
Some
no, I think they
too,
do.
Yeah.
I just think that the Eagles, like, yeah, especially with Lane Taylor, like, he's neutralizing whoever's on him. Which, side note, can we just move Rashawn Gary to the other side? Like, why didn't we? I don't think we did that once. I never saw him on the other side of the line. Like,
yeah,
put Carl point. Brooks out there. If he's going to neutralize somebody, neutralize Carl Brooks, and we'll
yeah, I guess
we'll take our party to the other side of the line. That's the advantage of being on defense. You can move your guys around.
Yeah,
but anyways, I digress. It's just one of those things, like, watching the defense, it just feels like there is a lot to clean up. Linebacker is one thing. Feels like guys are kind of like playing out of position, maybe not even like in the right position. Like Eric Wilson's on the field for like 20% of the snaps. McDuffie's on the field for like all of them. And he just like did not, he just was not working. And so it's like, why are we not making adjustments? LaFleur talked about it pregame. We're going to have to make adjustments. Defense, it didn't really seem like any adjustments were made, so that was like a little bit frustrating. Would be exciting to see Adrian Cooper in there. He flapped that speed when he got that deflection. When he I think he came off the edge, man, that dude's fast. So gives like Quay, like when Quay was a rookie and you're like watching him like come in and flash, you're like, it gives that feeling.
But we never saw that type of athleticism from that position. Right. Yeah, it's fun to see that number. His aesthetic is good. He looks like a football player with 56 out there just run around and then run in the backfield. It's tough not to be optimistic, especially with only seeing a small. And I like how I say, oh, we should be optimistic because he only played so much, you know, and he's going to be better. And then the previous segment, I said, well, the coaches didn't feel good about LVN, so they didn't let him play all that much.
Yeah.
Corner, Jair had the pick. He also had some bad moments too. The out and up, the long touchdown to AJ Brown seemed to be him. It looked like he was kind of expecting a little more help from the safety there, but either way, you gotta be better than that when you are Jair Alexander, who is no longer the highest paid corner in the NFL, which...
Oh, that's right. Jalen Ramsey.
Was it Ramsey that got a new deal?
I'm pretty sure that's who it was. Jalen Ramsey got a new deal for like...
I thought it was someone else. I could be wrong. But yeah, he played, I don't know, up and down. I like the pick. What did you think of the return?
I mean, I liked it. I mean, I feel like that was a moment where in Jair's head, he's like, I can't remember. What year was it? Was it last year when he said at a press conference, he's like, you know, the offense isn't really doing... Yes. A whole lot. So, like, we just got to pick up the slack. Like, he did it in the nicest. He said it the nicest way.
He said, like, week three
it.
Or something last year. Yeah.
Yeah. The nicest way he could say it. It wasn't that nice. We knew what he was saying. But, like, I would feel like that was Jair in that moment was like, I got to take this to the house. Because, like, when Xavier McKinney picked that ball off, like, we got it to, like, what, the 10, and then the offense sputtered.
Yeah.
And then we got the fumble, and the offense sputtered. And so, like, I feel like that's a moment where Jair was trying to do too much, but it didn't hurt us. It worked out just fine, but, I mean, there was a chance he was taking it back for a second in my head, anyway.
Could you imagine if he got hurt on that play? I would have been so fucking pissed off at him if he gets hurt for, like, a third year in a row.
That'd be brutal. Jalen Ramsey did just sign.
He did.
$72.3 million for 3 years, 24.1 average.
Okay, I think if you're looking, you should see where Jair ranks now yearly, because he might have dropped a couple. I think a couple corners got paid. I could be way wrong, though. Eric Stokes played 67 of 76 snaps on Friday, and then Valentine played 9 out of 76. A little surprising. I thought they would have rotated a little bit more. I thought Stokes played fine, though. He had one bad missed tackle, but he played more snaps than even Jair, and he wasn't a liability, which I was kind of expecting going into the game. And then Keyshawn had that sack. Again, nice to see a little, you know, something exotic out of the defense. I looked it up because I'm like, this has got to be the first one of his career. He did have a half sack last year. Probably the one time that Joe Barry sent a corner blitz. But again, overall, I mean, I feel a lot better about the secondary than I do about the front seven on the defense.
People are saying Eric Stokes could be the number one cover corner going forward. We don't know.
Who are those people?
It's just people saying that. Eric Stokes was actually graded the number three PFF player.
Really?
On defense. Yes. It went Edgerrin Cooper, which small sample size.
Oh, I thought you meant like in the NFL or for corners.
No. Just for the Packers. Yeah. Packers defense, it went Edgerrin Cooper, Xavier McKinney, Eric Stokes.
Okay.
So,
good enough.
Do with that information what you will.
Moving on to safety. Can we talk?
Real quick before you move on.
I'll allow it.
Patrick Surtain II also inked.
Okay, that's who I was thinking of.
A 4-year, $96 million contract, so that's 24-year.
Okay, there you go. Moving on to safety, Javon Bullard, first guy. Well, I guess let's talk about X. X probably would be a captain for the team. What was that, the first drive, second drive on defense for the season? Gets the pick, nearly returns it for the touchdown. Pretty cool, especially seeing that replay where we have a, you know, he's just playing deep zone, or he's the lone safety, like in the middle of the field, just fucking runs across and picks it off. Very, very cool. Something we haven't seen a safety do since Charles Woodson, or maybe even Rudy Ford. Who's to say? Pick was cool. Wyatt picked it up, I think, or it was Wyatt helped it out, getting the pressure there.
Right, that pressure up the middle.
The other thing, well, Bullard was fun. We talked about that a little bit. He played 100% of the snaps, which was pretty surprising.
Yeah.
I love seeing him running over A.J. Brown, like thinking of that. That's his first NFL game, and he just like bitched A.J. Brown and then like kind of walked over. Like it was, I was like, damn, yep. He wasn't afraid of this dude at all. And A.J. Brown's like,
dude, he's a dog.
Yeah.
That dude's a dog. And we need more dogs on this defense.
And we didn't hear too much about him during training camp, so that was nice to see. And going along with that, it's not exactly a negative, but Evan Williams playing 0% of the snaps on defense was surprising, but with the game Bullard had and Keyshawn was fine enough in the slot, it wasn't shocking to see that afterwards, I guess.
It does feel like the second that Keyshawn struggles in the slot, that Evan Williams comes in and Bullard goes to the slot. Like, that's what feels like happens. I could be completely wrong, but I mean, Bullard, like you said, he was a missile. I forget what play it was. They threw like a swing pass out to the flat. Yeah. And you saw him recognize it immediately and drive like as the ball was getting snapped and get there and make the play. And it was like, man, to watch a rookie do that from the safety position that's so fun.
Well, seeing that whole clip is cool too, because you see him and X communicating where
talking.
It's like at the same time where they saw the same thing for what they were going to run. So Bullard's like pointing at himself and he's like running up before the play, and then X shifts over to like cover form. It's like, wow, look.
Yeah.
Like, we usually only have communication between the safeties after a play is over.
You know. And hands are in the air.
Darnell Savage.
And heads are down.
Yeah, shaking his head. Yeah. So it was nice to see that change. But yeah, overall, I mean, the defense in general, again, not a great week, but it was the Eagles and I don't know. They were active. It wasn't the same passive shit. They were active all game. It felt like, I know the last drive sucked, but I'm still fairly optimistic. Special teams. First thing I'm going to say, so Rich Bisaccia, we'll see. Our second kickoff, I believe it was. We kick it to like the 10 or the 15. I think we kicked it to like the 5 or 10. And we stop them at the 15. They start their drive there. Every other kickoff in that game, we booted it in the end zone.
I don't think it makes sense. Everybody's booting them in the end zone, though.
I understand that, but when there was one time where you didn't, and you got them to the 15, there was no failed like return, you know, for a coverage aspect. Why wouldn't you keep trying it until it gets fucked? Because you're giving up 15 yards every time. I know you're not always going to stop them there, but why not risk it until you see the negative?
I don't know. I thought that the idea behind setting this up the way that they're setting it up is that you would want to kick it as close to the goal line as possible, as high as you can kick it, obviously, right? So it drops close to the goal line, and then it pins them back as far as you can, and then you have guys right there that can get inside the 20 and stop guys. I thought that was the point.
Yeah.
It seems like, and I didn't watch every game on Sunday, but like everybody is kicking it into the end zone.
Most, it seems. Yeah. I think it's like 80% or something.
is it because they're scared of getting returned on? Like they feel they feel like it's an unsafe, like as far as defending that? Like do they, I don't know.
It's part of that. That's part of it, but I think it's also like they're trying to see what everyone else does too. I wouldn't be surprised if next week that number goes down and there are more returns. But it doesn't make sense to go back and forth when you see kicking it short helped you in this game.
I really thought, like watching it in the preseason, I really thought, and maybe I said this, but I really thought that like somebody's, and this can still obviously happen, but like somebody's going to figure out how to block this up on offense, on the receiving end, and it's going to be crazy.
Justice Mosqueda said that a couple teams that have returned, they have like two-man blocks in the middle. Like they get two guys to go after one guy and try to just... Like, that's it. Like, one single.
And if you make, if your guy back there, because what it looks like, it's essentially looks like a broken run play almost from the returner's point of view. If you put a guy back there that can just make a dude miss, just one dude, right? So, like, put a running back there and make a dude miss, well, you can get 40 yards. Like, it just seems like, it could be blown wide open, and maybe that's why teams, they're scared of that. I don't know.
We'll have to see if they adjust. The other thing to talk about would be, should we talk about Daniel Whelan? I didn't even look. I know he punted pretty fucking well, though, right?
Two for 37.
74. Two for 74.
Oh, sorry. Two for 74, and then his long was 41.
Oh, I think he pinned. The one was a pretty good punt that pinned them deep, I believe.
Yeah, one I want to say was like around the 10, right at the 10, maybe.
And then we got to talk about Braden Narveson. 3 for 4, made both his extra points, missed the 42-yard field goal. Now, I'm going to say something, and it's very dumb, but I'm going to say it.
Sometimes you don't want to say those things.
I still feel pretty good about him, and I think people will agree with this.
I don't think that's dumb. Okay.
I feel better about Narveson's miss than several kicks that Anders had that he made. Like, I thought that kick was good. I thought it was good until it doinked.
Yeah, it was really close.
It was so straight, and it looked like it was going through. And Anders, like, you just see, like, it'll start to the right, and then maybe it would fluff over to the left, and it would be good. But it was just a straight shot. There was power behind it. I know we're talking way too much about a single kick here, but I felt good about the miss. We'll see. Maybe he sucks, but I'm fine with this happening.
I think feeling good about the miss is a weird comment, but
I felt better about that miss than I felt good about Anders' makes.
The ball at least flies straight.
That's
when he kicks the ball, it's going straight. And it's just like you can extrapolate from when it comes off his foot where it's going, where like, and granted, wind plays a factor, but it's like every single time Anders kicked the ball, it had movement. No matter if you're in a dome or wherever, and it was weird. And I do like the way Narveson just like his extra points go straight down the middle, where like Anders did not ever go down the middle, which was weird.
He was always flirting with the pole.
It's weird. I don't know what it is. We'll see. I mean, 3 for 4 is a fine first outing. You would like to see him obviously hit them all, but
the aesthetic is
he's an undrafted rookie. Yeah. Like, we're going to give him a little bit of time, right?
Yeah.
We gave Anders like 2 years.
Maybe we talked a lot about numbers last week, or we have the last couple weeks. Kickers should all, like that 44 looks good. He looks tougher with all that extra like color on his chest and on his back.
Right. The wider white numbers make him look.
Yeah, just puff your chest out a little bit more when you got those numbers on, rather than Anders with like 17 or those little girly numbers too. Those are so tiny. You got to get big blocky ones to make it look like a big boy.
Is Narveson big?
I don't think so.
Is he a big guy?
I don't think so. I thought of that too, because I talk shit about Greg Joseph being short, and Narveson doesn't look very tall either.
6'215".
Really? Okay. I had to Google it again, because I know I said it on the podcast, and then we Google Eric Wilson's height. He is 6'1". He looks teeny tiny on the field.
Yeah, why is that? I mean,
I have no idea.
Granted, there's a lot of big boys. There's a lot of big boys out there. So
is he just portioned weird like that? Because you see him, and I'm like, this is a smaller dude.
I don't know.
Maybe it is just standing next to Quay in the defensive lineman. You're probably right, but it's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, because Quay's got to be 6'2", 6'3", so maybe that's what it is.
That's it for the game. Moving on. New segment. Dumb segment. Probably won't do this segment again. Would you rather? We're going to pick a couple players who had a good or bad game and say who do we...
Are we going to have like music for this? Will there
no,
be like sound?
No, I don't think so. Okay. It's already a little,
well,
a little
late. Maybe someday.
Yeah, maybe, maybe someday. I'll use the happy music again. Would you rather? Who are you feeling better about here, Todd? Quay or LVN? And maybe I should explain this to you. Todd's going to pick someone he feels better about. I'm going to talk about the person that he doesn't feel as good about.
I feel better about Quay if the person next to him is not Isaiah. I think that that's, mm-hmm. that's my take on this one. I just think that we put Quay in the right position and we've seen what he can do. And I think he's probably not, I don't know, he's probably not the guy filling gaps. I think that that's probably not his role. I think he should be flying around making plays on the outside, weak side linebacker, not strong side. So,
yeah, and I'm still, you got to think LVN still develops. I really hope so. I would think we would see more of a development from him at this point, but Preston getting old, JJ, I mean, out snapping him so much. I'd like to see more from him, but it's like, you get plays of LVN in your head. Like, I still remember him chasing down Justin Fields last year.
Yes.
He had a couple little plays. God, like, it's like that's almost the best play he's ever had where he contained Fields and chased him down. And we really haven't reached that since. I'm supposed to be the one saying good things about LVN right now. But.
Well, you're talking about his potential, what we've seen, those exciting plays.
But the potential is what gets coaches fired, you know, that saying. And that's what it is. That's what Goody drafts, looking at all these guys, especially Quay and LVN. You look at Luke Musgrave and Christian Watson on offense. It's like you get these big athletic Raskod freaks, and I think the floor is just so high on them because they're built this way and they're athletic enough that they're not terrible, but they might not ever turn into those huge game changers either because they're just... They don't have that dog in them. And maybe, I think LVN does. You know, he's a former hockey player just like myself. It would be pretty tough to tell the two of us apart.
One and the same.
Yeah, throw J.J. Watt in there too, a former hockey player. We all look the same.
Yeah.
But it's just...
Can't tell you three apart.
But it's just, you'd like to see him make a couple more plays. Next one. Would you rather Dontavian Wicks or Luke Musgrave?
I mean, these are easy ones. If I'm going first, it's Wicks all day long. Just because, like, I agree with you on the line that, like, the number one tight end spot at the end of the year is Kraft, I think. Like, having a vertical stretch tight end is obviously super fun and gadgety, and I like it. But, like, Kraft feels like a LaFleur tight end, right? Like,
he,
a blocker and
him.
A possession. Like, yeah, like who doesn't love Tucker Kraft? We still love Luke, but Wicks, I'm taking Wicks in this situation. What we saw from him at the end of last year, I think Friday was rust. I think we see more of him just like being a smooth route runner. Like the way that he, like it seemed like the way that he worked the corners in December last year was like really impressive from a rookie and a guy who didn't have a lot of notoriety. Like, that was really impressive. And I think that we see... I don't think that that was a fluke. I don't think that that was just him getting hot. So...
You know what it was? You know why he struggled?
Was that? Because he was in Brazil.
He was in Brazil. It was that turf. He couldn't be Davante Adams at the line of scrimmage doing the little tap dancing work. That's what it was.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
Luke Musgrave. I'm still, like, you know, down on him overall, but it's just... If... him and if Christian Watson can just, I don't know, maybe they gotta like go on one of those adventures where like a plane crashes and they gotta like survive and like they both get tough after that and then they can just like
naked and afraid,
you're like, yeah,
put him on naked and
perfect
afraid.
Yeah. Luke Musgrave might do good at that. He fishes. He could do that out in Australia.
Okay.
His one item will be hooks in the line for people who have watched Naked and a
there you
anyways.
Go yes,
but it's just again a different element that he could bring. The thing that I go back to when you imagine the plays that Luke Musgrave has made on the field when he's been at his best, what do you imagine, what do you think of,
like plays when he's been at his best?
Yeah,
well, the vertical passing game,
and he's usually wide ass open.
Well, yes, true.
That's the, I'm supposed to.
And he falls
I'm
over.
I'm supposed to say again. I'm supposed to say
you're not doing a very good
I'm
job.
Doing a, I'm doing a bad job.
Maybe you should
go
first.
We're just talking about these guys, but
okay.
That's what's tough because, and I think it's probably why Tucker Kraft is getting these snaps too, because he makes the contested catches. He gets down dirty. Luke has dropped wide open balls. He's ran routes incorrectly. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I'm cautiously watching him going forward, and that's why I'm more optimistic on Luke Musgrave.
I'm trying to remember. I think this says it all. Do you remember what game it was last year in the post game?
Cowboys.
Where Luke caught the ball and he ran into the end zone, and LaFleur hands him like the game ball. He's like, he's staying on his feet, and everyone claps, and it's like, oh no. Well, you shouldn't do that in an NFL locker room.
There was like a mic'd up thing during practice or like when they were doing photo day, and LaFleur was giving Musgrave shit for something too. This is so bad. This is, again, way too in the weeds again. But I'm like, is Matt LaFleur being a little mean to Luke Musgrave to like try to toughen him up? Which is also hilarious because it's coming from Matt LaFleur, who's like tore his Achilles and but not like being injured is a thing, but it's like he's not exactly the most macho.
Well, it's like when Dan Campbell tries to tough you up, it's received differently than like when Matt LaFleur tries to tough you up. You're like, Matt, come on.
Come on, you're just a little guy with some nice eyebrows. Now we're really going to get into it. Would you rather Sean Ryan, Josh Myers, or Jordan Morgan?
Do you want to go first on this one?
You go first. I got multiple options here. So,
I mean, for me, this one's super easy. Again, these are lobs,
I guess,
right?
Wait, hold on. who wouldn't you? Let's do that. Who wouldn't you?
Who I wouldn't?
Because it's pretty easy.
I think I wouldn't Josh Myers.
Yeah, big sweaty
guy. I think it's just over and over and over again, wrong position.
Oof.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want, So it's just, I don't know. We've talked enough about Josh. I feel bad. I'm sure Josh is a nice guy, but I would rather not Josh Myers.
So I'm going to go with Myers as well. This is just, these are just launching off points for conversations, guys. That's what we do with these stupid little segments. I don't want Josh Myers to get hurt. I don't want anyone to get hurt. But it would be interesting to see an offensive line. So the last play of the game, also Myers got hurt last snap of the game.
Right.
He was just like dehydrated or whatever, so he's fine. But
cramps.
Sean Ryan played center. A line of Sean Ryan at center or Monk and then Morgan at right guard. I really want to see that. I know it's only week one, but that's the future. That's potentially better. But you see so many of these plays of Josh Myers. It's like he's, is it a merry-go-round? What's the thing that you...
Carousel.
But the one that you really spin.
Oh, like at the park that you, like kids operate?
Yeah.
Merry-go-round.
Whatever that, wow, God, this is so bad. Whatever.
Death circle,
the death
basically.
Circle. There's plays where it's like Josh Myers is holding on the end of the death circle while it's swinging and he lets go. Like some plays actually end like that because he just doesn't have a great foundation with his feet, where I think, again, that the ceiling of the offensive line would go up substantially if Josh Myers wasn't on the field. And I would like to see that in the future. Whew. That was excellent unveiling of that segment.
We're definitely going to do it again.
We nailed it. We are going to keep, we're not going to do Is Kyle an Idiot? Email me if you want it or comment on Spotify.
Sean Ryan was not the center.
Jordan Morgan was?
Guess again.
Oh, Elton?
Our sweet prince, Elton.
Oh, duh.
Mm-hmm.
So they both play guard. I mean, I'd be down for that too.
Because I had to look because it was Sean Ryan at left tackle. Wait, what is
that
this?
Yeah,
Jordan Morgan 77, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jordan Morgan at right. Sorry, Sean Ryan at left guard, Jordan Morgan at right guard, and then Elton was at center.
Okay.
Which makes way more sense.
Yeah. I would, what I just said, replace it with that potentially as well. And whatever happens in the future,
because I would feel better. Anything that Elton does is good. So I'd be like, yeah, put him at center. If it was like, oh, we need a punter, I'd be like,
Elton can probably punt.
Yeah, he looks, he looks just like Jerry Kramer. He can kick. Moving on, Stump Spenny for the week. Todd, we talked about it last week. Billy, he is going to still write the Stump Spenny and his predictions for the week, but you have the Stump Spenny question. Todd, what is the Stump Spenny this week?
Okay, the Stump Spenny is the Packers have won 11 consecutive home openers. Ugh. Who is the last team to beat them in a home opener?
11 consecutive.
So that'll be 2013, right? It's 2014.
It's, 2013.
God, you naturally want to go with the Niners, but I think 2013 we lost to the Niners on the road. God, what did we do the year before that?
Wait, it wouldn't be 2013, because we would have, 11 would put us at 13, so it'd be 2012 would have been the year.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm just talking through it in my head, because I know 2013 we lost the home opener in San Francisco, and it's, or that was just the first game. Oh. Man. Give me AFC or NFC. Well, it had to be NFC. For some reason, I want to say the Eagles. I'm just going to go with the Eagles. It's not the Eagles.
It was San Francisco.
It was San Francisco. Lambeau? At Lambeau?
Yep.
God, I don't remember losing.
San Francisco in 2012.
Really? Okay.
I think maybe you have your years mixed up. Because weren't you saying in 2013 they lost to San Francisco in the home?
Yeah, but I know they did in 2013 too, but that was in San Francisco.
Oh. Because
that's when Clay and whoever that offensive lineman, they were like jawing at each other. Remember him, the guy with the big nose?
He
was a really good offensive lineman for a while. Oof.
Big nose. San Fran?
Yeah. I don't remember.
No.
Well,
I don't know.
Great start for the year, though, huh? 0-1. God, I should.
0-1.
I can't visualize a home opener against the Niners at Lambeau.
I mean,
how bad did we lose? We might have to, unless he was looking at something wrong there. This is tough, but maybe you can fact check that. I am going to get into the Colts preview. The Packers are playing the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. Ooh, I did not look at what time. The Colts are favored by 3.5 points. Ooh. Over under 41.5, which is very, very low. Colts lost last week 29-27 to the Houston Texans. Pretty interesting game. I mean, Anthony Richardson, the quarterback, quite the athlete. 9 for 19, ran for 56 yards. He had that one bomb to Alec Pierce, which was just ridiculous, where he like slipped at the beginning of the play and then just hucked it up there. That was crazy, also because it was Alec Pierce that caught it, who was like the least efficient receiver in the NFL last year, who I liked out of that 2022 draft.
Who is now 3 for 3 for 125 and a touchdown, going from like the least efficient receiver to that stat line in week one.
Crazy.
My favorite thing is when people are like, if you project this out, he'll have 47,000 yards.
That was the one good thing of Rodgers tearing his Achilles last year. It's not getting like those fucking comparison stats throughout the season, which I just fucking adore. But yeah, their offense, I don't know, solid enough. They got a lot of playmakers. They have a newer coach. Is it Sean Steichen? Is that the name of the coach? That might be someone else's name. Michael Pittman Jr., their number one receiver. Adonai Mitchell, the rookie, who's very talented. Alec Pierce, that we mentioned, the second round pick from a couple of years ago. Mo'Ali Cox, the tight end, who's they have like three different tight ends that are athletic. They have God, I can't think of his name, but his nickname is like Moose.
Like Granson?
No, the
Ali Cox.
No, the other guy who's on the IR. I can't remember it right now, but I love him.
Oh.
Even though he's never done anything in the league, but he's got like a 10 RAS score. But yeah, Colts, I mean, their defense is...
They don't have the dude from Georgia, do they?
No, Brock Bowers. No, he went to the...
No, not Brock Bowers. The huge dude from Georgia.
Oh, no. He's with Pittsburgh. God, why can't we remember his name?
Washington. Darnell Washington.
Washington, yeah. Beast. He played, at least preseason, Monster. He played like as many snaps as Pat Freiermuth. And then they have a really... DeForest Buckner had a sack and a half last week, too, so you got to think about him. But They're the Colts. Anthony Richardson, inaccurate quarterback. I don't know how much they're going to run. They got ran on last week by Joe Mixon, who isn't a great running back. But I don't know, playing with the Texans, I'm not too familiar with their offensive line, but Mixon's kind of a, you know, I don't know, back half of his career runner. You'd think we would have some success there, but Todd, going up against the Colts, probably starting Malik Willis. What are you thinking going in this game?
Yeah, that's tough. It's obviously a huge question mark at quarterback. If it was Love, I would feel really good about this game. Even looking at, I think the Houston Texans are going to be really good this year, but and then putting up a really good fight against them. But like we always say, right, on the pod, week one lies. So, I don't know. It feels like one of those things, like, they've got, it's a good team. I think quarterback play would be the difference maker, and I think it will be the difference maker. I do feel like it doesn't look great without Jordan Love, but I don't know. It's a tough one. Are we doing predictions right away? Or?
Oh, we can talk a little bit more. I am, like I said on the top, like I'm excited to see what the offense is going to look like. I say that now. But are we going to do some run option stuff? Because Malik Willis isn't known for having a very accurate arm. He did have a couple really nice highlight throws this preseason. But yep. He's only been in town for 3 weeks. I don't know how much of the offense he knows. They've said that he's a really smart, bright guy and he could pick things up. And I mean, shoot, they even made him the backup quarterback for week one with him only being there for, you know, the 2 weeks up to that point. I don't know. It's fun. I don't know how the pass catchers are going to do this week. I wonder if Tucker Kraft might be a little bit more involved just because if it's shorter stuff, but it would be funny if he totally changes it up, Matt LaFleur here, and like goes with what he did in Washington when RG3 was a rookie, and he goes back and they try to run some of that stuff, get him out of the pocket, get him running a little bit. It would be fun to have this little, you know, a couple games where we run a different offense before Jordan Love comes back. Now, I say that before losing those games, I would like to have at least one win before Jordan Love comes back. But I don't know. I don't want to say optimistic. I'm just curious to see how it goes on Sunday.
I'm excited to see this defense against a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. I want to see
second-year quarterback, but I guess he's only played like 4 games last year.
We
can call him a rookie. We can call him...
That's a good point. Not a rookie, but a young, inexperienced quarterback.
We identify him as a rookie quarterback.
I felt like Jordan Love was a rookie last year.
Sure. Okay. We can,
not actually.
Yeah, it's probably way off, actually, but yeah.
Dumb brain. Yeah. Doesn't play a lot. My thought just in being that, like, it always sucked watching the young quarterbacks just, like, go down the field and dink and duck on us the past 5-6 years on these defenses that just, like, give up the underneath. And it's like, granted, we saw Richardson. I mean, he's got a big arm and he can sling it. And I don't think he's afraid to push the ball down the field. But, like, so maybe it's not the same. But it will be nice to see them attack a young, inexperienced quarterback. Like, that's what I want to see is, like, the attacking. And, like, that's, I think that's the... I think that's what everybody wants to see with this defense is like not sit back on your heels, push the envelope, attack, make them work around us instead of just sit back there and like give them everything underneath. So that's what I'm excited for.
And again, like we said, playing at Lambeau, playing with the cleats that we know will work on the field, hopefully. That's about I forgot to say this. It's funny to think so. Red Batty was the guy's name, Red, whatever. He was the equipment manager for 30 years for the Green Bay Packers. He retired.
Was the guy that, like, just retired? Yeah.
Just retired. So the first game he's watching is that Friday night game where all the players are slipping and sliding. I would love to, like, interview him and be like, what were you feeling watching that game? Like, is he like, no, they put on the wrong cleats. Like, the first game you're watching in 30 years that you're not involved with, and it's falling apart because the players are wearing the wrong equipment. I'd like to be a fly in the wall, Todd, at Red Batty's house for that Friday game. Just, where else would you want to be?
Okay, so I did just really quick look up what kind of grass.
Thanks for doing that quickly, yeah.
Yeah. No, they use Bermuda grass.
Maybe
that doesn't sound like a football grass. That's like the grass that they have on golf courses down south.
Maybe just if you're that close to the triangle, it just makes that grass.
I'm not saying it's a bad grass. I'm saying it's a bad grass for football activities. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Wow, you're really putting,
I'm
you're
calling
putting
out,
yourself
I'm
out
calling
there.
Out Bermuda grass.
Okay. Oh, damn. Okay. Holy shit. There's no way they saw this coming. Holy fuck. Okay. Score predictions for the week. Todd, you've got Billy's too, so you can read them off when you get to it. My score prediction, I'm being a little optimistic, mostly for the entertainment side too. I have the Green Bay Packers winning 24-25. I don't know how we're going to get to 25 points. That seems unlikely, but a close game. Maybe we just eke it out at the end. Maybe it's Braden Narveson having a game-winning field goal at Lambeau in front of his family, his wife's side of the family, celebrating because they're all Packer fans, which we've learned, which is just so phenomenal.
That's cool.
But that's cool, hypothetically.
Big Prescott family.
Yeah, that's right. Prescott, Wisconsin. Todd, what is your score prediction for this week?
I'm going to give Billy's first.
Okay. Monkey.
Because it's the opposite of yours.
Oh.
23-10 Indy.
Okay.
Is what he has.
All right.
So mine's somewhere in the middle. I had the Packers. I think if Jordan Love's playing, you can flip-flop it. But I have the Packers losing 17-24.
Now, see, that is the most likely of all of us, I think, probably to have happen. Those are real football numbers, too.
It feels icky.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like losing to the Colts in week two with that score is just kind of like, yeah, Jordan Love didn't play.
It's one of those where at the end of the year or like a year from now, we're going to be like, oh, we lost to the Colts? What the? That's right. We had Malik Willis start? What happened?
Yeah, that'll be a trivia question in 5 years.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Yeah, he'll be the who replaced Aaron Rodgers for in the second quarter of the 2018, Deshaun Kizer.
It'll be, remember Jordan Love's first MVP? And that's what we'll say. Mm-hmm. Be like, who started the second game of the season? Yeah.
That's kind of funny too, because it's like if we stumble a bit here and Jordan Love comes back and we have a great like rest of the season, it's a pretty good example of why he's the MVP. Who's to say?
I think it's not impossible he doesn't play Sunday though.
True.
I'm just putting that out.
And
there.
It's not impossible for him to win the MVP. Like even Lamar last year, he wasn't hardly in the discussion until like the last month of the season. Like remember, we were talking about like Brock Purdy, even Jalen Hurts. I think at the beginning of the season was being talked about as the MVP.
We were talking about Brock Purdy until we watched him try and lose games all December and then all playoffs, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't lose them.
He's gonna be an interesting case.
That team around him,
because he looked pretty good on Monday night. But it really seems like if there's any like element added pressure or the slippery ball that we had in the playoffs, like he was absolute dog shit, even though he beat us, but whatever.
He's like the equivalent of like good in shorts, but yeah. Quarterbacks don't ever get hit. So they're always in shorts, but he's like the equivalent, like when it gets tough that it's like, ah, Brock, this isn't for you, Brock.
Come on, Brock. Bold prediction. I wrote this down. I don't know if I want to even say this or do it. It's just, it's to me, it's a little lazy, to be honest with you folks. I'm going to go with it.
Okay.
I'm going Tucker Kraft, 2 touchdowns. I just love my boy. Malik Willis wouldn't have to throw the ball very far this way. Maybe he's just rolling out and it's like, hey, Tucker, take this. Maybe it's some goofy little screen. Hell, maybe we even hand the ball off to him. He did. I think one of the reasons why he outsnapped Musgrave so much too is he has engulfed Josiah DeGuara, and he was in the backfield like that 2-point conversion play. He lined up as the fullback or whatever back there. So yep. It wouldn't be out of the realm. Okay, bold prediction for this game: 2 touchdowns for Tucker Kraft. Bold prediction for the season: Tucker Kraft will get a handoff. Remember last year in training camp, Luke Musgrave was getting end go rounds or whatever.
End arounds, yeah.
Maybe that happened. Maybe Tucker Kraft gets one of them. Maybe we just run around.
Was he running a jet motion ever?
Musgrave did in training camp. We might have once, or we might have had like a broken play where it looked like we were going to do that in the regular season, but I don't remember it actually happening. But your bold prediction, Todd?
My bold prediction is going to be two picks, one for each safety, not bold enough.
I think that's bold. It's tough to, but it has to be Bullard and X, right? Like,
yeah,
Evan,
Bullard
we
and
wouldn't
X.
Give you
yes.
Evan Williams.
Well, that would be really bold.
True.
That would be super bold.
Some might say maybe all the way to the Super Bowl. Yeah. Oh my god. Oh. That was terrible. I regret that both of us did that.
Maybe I'll say this is really bold. Three total team picks.
The two safeties is fine. Do that. That was your.
We're
original.
Trying to be bold. We got to be bold. This is headline.
I know,
grabbing.
But we talked Diotto one last week.
You think it'll be a headline?
Of course. Yeah. This is. You're gonna wake up tomorrow. Your phone is just gonna be filled with messages. The Superior Telegram, former resident, makes it completely bold.
So we're gonna stick with. To avoid being in the news, we're going to stick with one pick for Bullard, one pick for X.
Excellent. That is very bold, Todd.
Excellent. Ooh. Yes. Okay. Billy had Josh Jacobs 150-plus rushing yards. He did not give a reason why he thought that.
Okay. Okay. I guess that's bold enough. Good. I guess I hope that happens.
I think watching that offensive line interior, I think that that's bold enough.
Yeah. Well, the Colts were so bad at stopping the run last week, where
that's true,
you wonder what we're gonna see.
Joe Mixon had 159 yards and a touchdown. Jesus. So
he's as old as us,
and his long was 13 yards. So it's not like he was.
Wow, that's crazy.
He was hammering them.
It would be crazy if like his worst.
He's also a bowling ball.
Yeah, not
there's that.
But yeah.
No, not literally. He's a person.
He couldn't hold the ball then if he's a ball. I wonder what his like worst carry was. Like, what if his worst carry was 4 yards and is like everything's just great all game? It probably would happen.
Average 5.3. So if his long was 13, you're probably not that far off.
Yeah, there's no way we'll ever find this out. There's no reason to look it up either.
I can't get the breakdown
there's,
like that.
There's just no way. With that, we will wrap things up. Tidbits. I was going to say this. When we were talking about the kickers, did you see Anders Carlson and Greg Joseph both went in for workouts with, I believe it was the Lions, and then they signed Greg Joseph? Yes. Poor Anders, man.
I feel really bad, actually. Because I thought he was going to go pick up work like pretty quick.
He's going to have to be on a practice squad for a year. He's either going to get, I don't think he's going to actually kick in the NFL this year. I bet he's going to.
Yeah, that's fair. But I thought he was going to get signed right away.
I think he'll eventually get signed to a practice squad, and then next training camp, he'll be a camp leg and maybe beat someone out. It's like he needs another year to just figure his shit out. That's all it should be.
He needs to go to a team with an old guy and just beat the old guy out. And then to have somebody be like, we believe in this kid.
this young whippersnapper. Well, if the Titans believed in him, because, you know, that's what they wanted to do with Braden. I could have scooped him up, throw him on the practice squad, and be like, yeah, just sit behind Bullock or whatever for a year, and then you'll be good to take him over. But that doesn't seem to be
happening. Did you watch the Colts game?
No.
The Colts?
No.
Did you see that game?
I watched the Viking game while, like, on my phone flying from California to Minnesota.
I just pulled up the box score, and they had 303 total yards of offense, but they scored 24 points. They must have had amazing field position.
That is.
I didn't watch the game, but
no, I didn't either.
Or maybe some good special team stuff.
Yeah, yeah. One team did have a kick return touchdown. I forgot who. Maybe it wasn't them. I want to say it was the Raiders. I could be completely wrong on that. Once again, wrapping up the episode. We did have a new comment again. Come on, let's get. I mean, this last hour, have you not been entertained, fan? With me. Me and Todd in your ears. Yes, we're talking to you, fan. Leave a review, leave a rating, Spotify, Apple, that'd be cool. Then maybe more people will listen. Again, we're just doing this for fun. It's also a very lucrative business. We've made millions of dollars. But if you leave a rating on Apple or a review, that would be cool. We will read it on the podcast the next week. Same thing on Spotify. I think you can rate the pod, yeah, rate the podcast. That'd be cool. I think Spotify is growing, so if you want to do that, that'd be awesome. We'd love you so much, smooches. Last week, so this is a very, very funny comment. This is from David. And if you remember last week, we said, I've said it a couple times, like, I wonder if anyone's listened from the beginning and they're still listening and they're just like, what is going on? Yeah. David left this comment on Spotify, and then you can publish comments. I don't know how anything works anymore. You can publish comments on our podcast page so everyone can see this, and I'm like, I like looking at the podcast from this realm. David, as a listener since episode 4, Spencer, I view you as a put-together guy with a make-a-wish kid, Hank, whose uncle beats him and forced him into the shed trade. Now, if you didn't listen for season three, you have no idea what the fuck I was talking about there, but that got a good hearty laugh out of me. We've taken a lot of twists and turns with different... Remember Blake? Blake's been on this podcast a couple times. We'll never hear from him again, but hey, that was a little adventure we took.
Will Hank ever... Will there be a resurfacing of Hank? We don't know where he is.
Yeah, I would like to get him back on. He is... I mean, everyone knows he's a character. He could be a completely different person now, too. I don't know what type of chemicals have gone into
his
brain.
You think he's still in Minnesota?
I'd like to think so. I mean, especially with it cooling off soon here, we know he's going to be found in his uncle's basement, as he spoke of. And it's funny how you ask, is Hank ever going to be on? Not Kyle, who was part of the podcast for 3 years. And he just kind of left. Yeah, maybe we'll see him. I keep thinking he's going to come on one of these episodes.
Yeah, I think Kyle's coming back. I think every day that goes by is closer to Kyle being on the pod.
True. I guess. I think that's fair. I guess either that or further from the last time he was ever on. We will never know.
Both could be true.
But with that, I don't think I have anything else. No, I don't have anything else. Feel good about getting the game back at Lambeau? Did you see what time it is? I didn't even say what time it is. Is it at noon?
Oh, geez. Hang on.
I think we have...
Yeah, I'll find it.
It's not Burkhart, but we do have Greg Olson is one of the commentators, which is...
Is that Fox?
Yeah, that's Fox, but he got pushed down because Tom Brady is on the...
He got pushed down? Oh, I was going to say he's their number one.
Mm-hmm. But no, he got moved down. I had kind of a love-hate thing with him. I didn't like him at the beginning, but I think he's a plus color commentator. I would take him rather than giving me a random one.
Yeah, noon game, Fox.
Cool. There you go.
Not available. Hey, if you're in Minnesota, not available in your area, so the Vikings must play.
Fuck.
So, yeah, find your favorite local watering hole and watch the game.
We might have to go to Lynn Lake to watch the game unless I am up north in Superior this weekend, which I might be. But, God, remember Lynn Lake, too? God, yeah. They were a sponsor 2 years ago. I forgot to reach out to them last year, forgot to reach out to them this year. I literally thought about it yesterday. And I'm like, oh, I guess we just don't have that sponsorship anymore. But that was pretty cool. I mean, they gave us like $100 and a sweatshirt, a couple sweatshirts, a couple shirts. I was like, sweet, free stuff. Am I talking too much about the...
No, I think that's wonderful. I think we should try and get them back.
I don't even know if the guy I was...
I'll take some of the Lake gear.
Yeah. I mean, it is, again, the playoff atmosphere last year at Lynn Lake was great.
Should we plug it? Because it was a great atmosphere,
I'm not,
actually.
God, this is bad. This is bad. I do want to say this, which I forgot to mention. I don't know if you've ever watched a game there, but the Park Tavern?
Yeah.
God, I mean, I don't...
Watch the Vikings-Packers game at Park Tavern when Clay Matthews got that just blatant roughing the passer call.
That was the Herkimer.
Oh, that was the Herkimer. Yeah. Oh, I did. Yes, I did watch that. Now it's clicking the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park.
Bowling alley.
That just recently had...
Yeah. I just wanted to mention how awful that is. Literally. So Park Tavern, great.
Horrible.
Great Packer bar. St. Louis Park, greater Twin Cities area. Terrible drunk driver. Fucking... drove into like the outdoor patio area, killed two people, I believe.
I think there was like three people in the ICU.
Yeah, they were out celebrating. They were like nurses. They worked in one of the closest hospital nearby. And
oh my god, they were.
Yeah, they were like celebrating this guy's last day working with them, and like one of the floor manager passed away, and then I believe it was the waitress. She got hit and passed away. So absolutely awful. I don't want to... Thoughts and prayers just seems weird to say because there's such a negative whatever. But thoughts and prayers with them. There's a GoFundMe for the waitress and stuff, too. You can look that up. I don't know how to link things on this, but terrible. Love that place. Terrible to see that happen. The fucking guy had like 5 Deweys, too. It's like, how fucking stupid do you have to be? But love the Park Tavern. Literally during COVID, where this accident happened is where we watched the game because they had like a tent outside. So that was...
Yeah, they have like that outdoor seating area, which, by the way, like you had to drive way off the road to get to that, which is just like, yeah, super sad.
Yeah. On that,
God. On that fun note,
AJ Dillon, please take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy. Just watch.
How about would you rather?
But that's okay, that's a little weird.
It is weird, but it's funny. Okay. You could be like,
yeah, no, that's
would
good.
Would you
that's
rather, no, and you could just lead into it, like, would you rather Josh Myers?
Okay. Especially, maybe we save the offensive line one for last because we'll say three okay. dudes.
Yeah.
Well,
this segment's called Would You Rather?